If I could have your attention here in the media center, we'll now begin our winner's press conference here for the Exalta Presents the Pocono 400 here at Pocono Raceway in the Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series. And we're joined by the race-winning team, driver Ryan Blaney of the number 21 Motorcraft Quick Lane Ford for the Wood Brothers Racing, crew chief Jeremy Bullens, and car owners Lynn and Eddie Wood. Just a few notes here. This is win number 99 for the iconic Wood Brothers Racing team, and the first since 2011. Wood Brothers have now won at least one Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series race in each of the last 6 decades. And the win clinches a spot in the 2017 NASCAR playoffs for Ryan Blaney. And Ryan, youth overpowered experience today. Please walk us through the pass of Kyle Busch and holding off Kevin Harvick for the win.
Yeah, so we did a great job. Jeremy Bullens and everybody did a great job of positioning ourselves to restart towards the front on tires when the 18 stayed out. He looked to be the best car all day, and it's almost a curse when you're that good. Everyone just kind of does the opposite of what you do in that situation. And, you know, we've been on the bad side of that before. But once we got to second, I knew he was going to fall off pretty hard, and it was just a matter of getting by him before everyone else, all the other really fast cars on, you know, our strategy got to second as well, or got to us. And it was a pretty good race to get by Kyle there at the end of the race. And then having to hold Kevin off was really tough. He was fast all day, and you know, just got to not mess up and hit your marks and take airway. And, you know, props to him. He drove me really clean, and I have the utmost respect for him doing that. And I've seen him win countless races passing cars within the last 10 laps, and he does a great job at that. But, you know, thank you to him again for racing me clean. But it was exciting in the car for sure. Hopefully it was exciting for the fans. And like I said, we just put ourselves in a spot to capitalize on it like we did today.
Now, Jeremy, this 21 team has had speed the whole season, consistent speed. You guys have been so close. What has been the key to really getting this 21 car up front and in position to win week in and week out?
Just experience. I mean, we started this thing part-time in 2015, built the team, you know, put people together, you know, made changes here, there, throughout, and, you know, have a group of people now that I feel like can compete as a team with anybody. We've had good cars all year. We've had good speed all year. And the last few weeks we've been really fast and just had some unfortunate things happen, but felt like we were in a position a couple times to take advantage of that. And, you know, today we put it all together and overcame some stuff, and it all worked out.
Lynn and Eddie, this question is for the both of you. You've had so many legendary drivers in the seat of that 21 car. What makes this guy sitting to your left so special?
He's special, all right. I mean, like Jeremy said, we put the thing deal together in 2015, and right away you knew you had, you know, Ryan was going to be special because he just had speed. You know, everywhere we went, he had speed, and that's something that it doesn't come easily. And you know, we were on a brand new team; everybody was new, young, and it just every week, you know, he had fast cars, and you know, a lot of it is due to the driver, and you know, with, you know, the alliance with Team Penske, that is second to none. That just really makes a big difference. And you know, Jeremy came over to be our crew chief, and it just all worked out. You know, Blaney is—he's on his way now. It's—you know—he outrun two guys today that are champions, and they're at the top of their game. And to outrun them to win a race here, this is one of the toughest tracks that we go to. Always has been, and I'm really, really proud of him. And he's here. He's arrived now.
Lynn, about you?
You know, I think when he pulled those rookie stripes off in Daytona, it made a difference in him. I won't call it more aggressive, but it's kind of. And it shows every week. You know, we've been fast everywhere we've been. We've had issues. You know, we were very close to a win at Texas, very close at Kansas, and it kind of dawned on me. I said, you know, we're not going to win a race where we – you know, it's expected that day. We'll win somewhere that we don't expect it, and it was here today.
Outstanding. We're going to open the floor for questions. We're going to start with Holly, and then we'll go to Zach.
Holly Kane, NASCAR.com. Ryan, you know, you have had other opportunities where you were out front or something, you know, came up. Did it help not having the communication back with the pits? Because I know of the radio issues. Were you
yes.
able? did that put you kind
Thanks,
of in
man.
Your in only your own head, so to speak? And did you drive any differently this time? Like, this is not going to happen again. I'm going to win this race.
Yeah, thanks for that. I appreciate it. I was saying we should just unplug my microphone more, so I'm not complaining as much throughout the race. But that was one of the problems that we had. We had a loose wheel early and had to come back down and. After that, and we didn't have track position after that. And there was such little cautions here that you couldn't drive your way back up there unless you were just lights out better than anybody else. So that's where they did a great job of putting us in a spot to where we're have a shot at the end. But, you know, the old hand on the door for was it tight, hand on the door?
Door's tight. Yep.
Door's tight. Roof was loose and thumb up, thumb down if it was good or not, or key the mic, because they could hear – the mic key, they just couldn't hear me.
There's a lot of Morse code.
Yeah. But, it might have, I could say it maybe put you in your own head a little bit more if you're not, you're not talking as much. And, I would still key the radio. And I actually forgot the radio was broken after the last pit stop. I was trying to talk, and they were like, yeah, we still can't hear you. It's not. I completely forgot it was still still broken. But, it's definitely something I've never had happen before. But luckily I could hear them and we were able to work something out. I didn't really drive any differently than I would have before. You just try not to make mistakes, you know, one little mistake and he was going to get by us pretty easy, and you try to hit your marks like you do all day. I think what really was able to hold him off is I started downshifting in the tunnel turn, and he was doing that when laps got on our tires, and I was able to, you know, keep us RPMs up and get runs off that corner. So that, I thought that was the game changer that brought us to kind of even with him, or at least closer to him. But I didn't really drive anything different. You just try the best you can to focus and do what you do all day, which is hit your marks and try not to make mistakes.
We'll go next to Zach and then to Lee.
Zach Sterniola from the Pocono Record. I want to talk first about this weekend. I have two questions for you. But this weekend I know was special for you, especially seeing Bubba make his first start here, getting the picture before this race. Take me through, and also being able to hold off champions like Harvick and Kyle Busch there. How special was this victory for you personally?
Yeah, we need Bubba in the Cup Series more. One start he makes, I win the damn race. He needs to keep running. But that was cool to have him. I don't know where he finished. I know they had problems on pit road or something like that. But, I was behind him a little bit, and he seemed to be doing a really great job. But, that was special for him. But, you know, to me, obviously your first win special, and to do it with the Wood Brothers and at a place where I vividly remember coming and watching my dad race here so much was really special as well. This is a hard racetrack. This is one of the toughest racetracks we go to, of playing with where to shift, how to shift, what your car needs. It's three completely different corners. And I felt like we were super strong through one in the tunnel and struggled in three, and you're going to have that. And, it's just really neat to be able to get these guys their 99th win, and hopefully we can go for 100 here.
We'll go to Lee, then to Kaylee, and then to Joseph.
Lee Spencer, Motorsport.com. Have you talked to Dave yet?
I haven't had my phone. No, I'm excited to get back and talk to him. They had a big night last night up at Sharon Speedway, my dad's racetrack, and Motorcraft actually sponsored that night for the Motorcraft. That was a big deal for them to put that fan appreciation night on. And good fortune, I guess. They do something like that, and we go win the race. That was pretty cool, but I haven't talked to him yet.
Good fortune, Andy, you sent me a copy of your lottery ticket last night, and obviously you're here because you didn't win the lottery. But is this better than winning the lottery, having your, you know, protege in victory lane?
Yeah, this is way better. This this will last forever. I mean, every win you get is very, very special, in especially when you get like Ryan's first win. And we've had a number of, you know, kids that come through our car that won their first race in our car. Dale Jarrett did, Kyle did. And to be part of that, that now he's, you know, we can always say he won his first race with us. And it'll always be that way. But it was just, it was a great day. And like the radio thing. And I mean, it was just like us going back to the old days with no radios. He asked, you ask about which it was. We used to have a piece of gray tape on the dash that would have roof loose, door push, and, you know, that's what you went by. And it just kind of took me back. And then right there at the end, the way he was trying to get away from Harvick and, you know, dropping down to the inside like that. Neil Bonnet did that in 1980 here and went on to win a race. And just, I don't know, it's like I had flashbacks. It's really cool.
He's like the 21st driver to win in our car, too.
Really?
Yeah. Number 21.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Take that one to the casino. Let's go to Kaylee.
Kaylee Davis, ESPN.com. Ryan, I had an interview with your dad here 10 years ago, actually, in the late race. And what we talked about was trying to stay in the top 35, you know, just so he was guaranteed a start the next week. And now here you are, not very far from where your dad grew up, in Victory Lane. What does it feel like to put the Blaney name in Victory Lane in the pinnacle of the sport?
Yeah. My dad grew up not too far from here. He was kind of on the Ohio-Pennsylvania border in Hartford. But to do it so close to where he grew up, and like I said, I remember this place so much. We always had a bunch of family come out here and always watch this race because he's from right down the road. But, that actually, he just dawned that on me that, my dad never unfortunately won in the Cup Series, and even though I feel like if he would have got the right opportunities, he would have done very well. And that's something that just dawned on me. Thanks for reminding me of that. That's really cool. We won. It was really special a few weeks ago. We won at Charlotte in the Xfinity Series where he won his it was Busch back then. That was his one Busch win, and now to do it this week, getting Blaney in the Cup Series and Victory Lane, that's really neat. I just figured that out. Thanks.
It's cool.
I appreciate that.
We'll go to Joseph, then to John, then to Jake.
Joseph Welkin, frontchurch.com. How important is today, with Bubba making his debut and you bringing the Wood brothers back to Victory Lane, how big of a day is it for the next generation of racers?
I think it's a great day. We've had a bunch of new winners this year. Ricky got his first win this year. I think there was another. Who else?
Austin
won the 600. So it's a huge year for the rookies. And then Bubba making his first start this weekend, that's a big deal. And luckily we were all able to get a picture before the race today with our cars. That was really neat. But it's nice to be part of kind of this younger group of drivers. And I think we're all kind of coming into our own. Eric Jones had a great day today. He ran third. He had a super fast car all day. So I think it's pretty neat to just be part of the group. You know, you always want to be part of the group, and luckily we're able to finally get in Victory Lane, you know, because I've been pretty jealous of Larson and Austin and Ricky for getting in Victory Lane, you know, them being young guys as well, and now we can finally add our name to that group.
Go to your left, to John, and then we'll go to Jake.
Hey, John Harville on ESPN Radio Albuquerque. For Ryan and for Jeremy, we're just past the midway point of the regular season, so I just wanted to get, like, an evaluation for the first half of the regular season versus what you're going to do for the second half?
More of the same. I mean, you have to – we're in the chase now, and the reality of that is the way the point structure is, you have to win races to win a championship. And so, there were some times, like the Texas thing, I got questioned to the end of the earth about going for stage points and all that. But, you know, at the end of the day, all that stuff's going to add up at the end of the year. And we went into the season thinking – we can win a race and we can contend with these guys. And so that's the mindset we've had, racing these races and trying to be aggressive at times. And that's certainly not going to change. I feel like, you know, we've proven that we can do this. We beat some of the best today. We had a fast car. So I think, you know, for us, it's just more of the same, trying to, you know, carry on and build on this. We've said from the beginning that it's a process of trying to build a team that can do this week in and week out, and we're getting there. So we just got to keep working hard and keep doing the things that have us here today.
Yeah, I'm pretty much what Jeremy said. I feel like our approach this year has been, you know, the right approach of going out there and trying to win races and win stages at the same time. And, you know, to be honest with you, before today, you know, without all the stage points we've gotten, we would be in big trouble. I think those are what kind of kept us alive here in the past month and a half when we've had our struggles. But I don't think we do anything different. We'll go out and, you know, this team, we obviously prove we're capable of winning today, and I think we can go do that most weeks. And you just always want to kind of build your playoff stock. You know, these – I like the rules changes of, you know, you got to race all year. You get a win and you're in, but you can't – they thought it was one of us. You can't relax, and because that just sets you up for the end of the year.
Father, also, have you spoken to anyone from your family yet? Has your father, like, texted you or anything yet?
I leave my phone in the bus before intros. So
he texted me, so I'm sure he's texted him.
Oh, he texted you? Probably texted you before me.
Good job. Congrats. But, about time.
About time? That's a typical Dave thing to say. Did he text you, I can't believe he didn't screw up and give the win away?
We'll go next to Jake and then to Dan.
First, I just want to make sure – was the communication issue, was that for the whole race, or was it partway through?
About lap 40.
About 40?
About two-thirds of the way through the first stage.
And when you realized what was going through your mind, this for Ryan or Jeremy, what was going through your mind, and what did you try to see if you could fix things?
What happened was I kept hearing something key up, but there was no noise. And I knew right away that it was the mic in his helmet, because that's why you didn't hear the car running, you didn't hear background noise. I knew exactly what was wrong as soon as it happened. And so I asked him, I said, are you trying to talk to us? And I heard it key up again. So I'm like, okay, there's no way to fix this without giving up a bunch of time. So we're just going to have to old school it and get through it. And it was pretty much that simple.
Dan Gelson with the Associated Press for the Wood Brothers. How has the relationship, the technical alliance, been with Penske? And how worried are you that you might not have Ryan next year?
I'm not going to worry about that today. The relationship... See, our relationship with Mr. Penske goes back to the early 70s. We actually met Roger in Riverside, California, the first race he showed up that we were there in 72 or 3 with Mark Donahue and a Matador. And they won that race, and we were parked beside those guys. And in those days, we all wore white rental clothes, white shirt, white pants, and that's just everybody did. Well, when the Penske crowd showed up, they had black pants, and they had these white shirts with these things on the top. I didn't know what they were. They were epaulets. I'd never seen one, and I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever saw. And they all had their shirt tails tucked, and they were all proper, and, you know, we looked like a bunch from no telling where. But at that point, we just made a friendship, and... And then when this opportunity came to team up with Jeremy and Ryan, it just all kind of fell into place. And a lot of people were involved in making all that happen. Our good friend Edsel Ford, he was part of that, and with Mr. Penske. And just things just really happened. And it's just a great relationship. I mean, it's, as the results show, and everyone treats us like family over there. There are people that work – there are people at work over there that Lynn and I raced against in the early 70s. They're still there. Like, no one leaves. You go to work for Mr. Penske, you don't leave. You don't want to. And that's just the kind of group they are. And we just love our relationship with them.
Go next to Nate, then we'll go to Zach, and then we'll go to Scott.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Dan kind of stole my thunder a little bit, but I'll try to ask it in maybe a slightly different way. Eddie, you mentioned all the drivers you've had who have won their first race with you, and then, but the flip side of that is those drivers eventually move on somewhere else. And I know Roger was saying last week that, you know, third car possibility next year for Ryan next year at Penske. Is it just sort of understood that, like, you guys are a team where younger drivers are groomed and move on someplace else, and, like, while you guys have that time together, it's great, but... maybe there's always a sense that it's not going to last long term.
Yeah, I mean, the relationship we have is great. Nobody can ever take this away. Just like with Trevor Bayhn, you know, nobody can ever take that win away. And, you know, ever what happens, when Ryan came to drive our car, it was actually kind of understood that he was going to be moving on probably the next year. And then it didn't happen. And whenever it happens, that's fine. You know, everybody will move on, and he will go on to bigger and better and greater things. He's going to win a lot of races, and I think he's going to win some championships. And whatever we do from there, it'll be fine. I think you and I have had conversations like this before. So, yeah, we're just excited to be where we are. It's a great place to be.
You have any thoughts on that, Ryan?
What he said. I like where I'm at.
Let's go next to Zach, then to Scott, and then we'll go to this Zach.
Zach Sternhill from the Pocono Record. Ryan, you kind of touched on it earlier, how difficult this place is. But you've had some experience here before. You got a truck win here. How much does that prior experience help you coming into a place like this and to conquer it here today?
You know, any race you have here before is always helps. You always kind of put in your memory bank. In that race in 2013, that truck race, we won on restarts. And we didn't have a ton of restarts today, but, you know, that restart, the last one, put us in a spot to be in second and be the closest car to the front on tires. And there are some things that that I learned in that truck race that you always just, whether you think about it or not, you just kind of subconsciously always just becomes part of how you drive and how you do restarts and things like that. So, yeah, I could say that probably somewhere embedded in your memory bank, there's stuff you learned from back then when you were a kid to apply today in the Cup Series.
Scott Walsh from the Scranton Times Tribune. I have two questions. First for Ryan. Growing up, I'm sure you maybe dreamed about, you know, how your first win was going to ever play out. How close to that dream did, you know, in reality kind of mix today?
You know, yeah, you always dream about, you know, winning a cup race. It's the ultimate, you know, it's one of your goals. It's right below a championship. And, you know, like I said, when I watched my dad race, no matter where it was forever, you know, I always appreciated, you know, how these races played out, whether it was here or anywhere else. But yeah, that's what you always dream about. But you don't really think about it too much. You're not like, okay, I'm going to get this win this week. You just kind of go in to each weekend and try to do the best you can. And, you know, you can have confidence to run well. But I'm not like, oh, if I win this race, I'm going to do this and this and this. And, you know, you just kind of focus on the task at hand. But it definitely is, you know, a little bit more surreal than, you know, than I expected. It's so cool to do it with a great team as well. And this is what we've always wanted, what I always watched and wanted to do as a kid. So I got lucky to get opportunities to make it happen.
And for Lennon, Edward, how tough has it been over the years for you guys to kind of survive and endure? And I'm sure days like this make it all worth it, maybe all the things you guys had to go through to kind of keep this thing going.
Yeah, I mean, it's like that for everyone. You know, you go through lows, really low lows, and the highs are really, really high. But there's just enough highs to level out the lows. There's probably a lot more lows than there are highs, but you got a lot of in-between that's okay, too. But you just take it, you know, one day at a time and one situation at a time and one crisis at a time, however you want to say it. You know, there's always something going on or changing in racing, and you just have to adapt and figure out a way to make it work. And, you know, we've always been fortunate enough to have good support from Ford Motor Company to help us through the hard times. And, you know, then you have a day like today, you don't even remember the tough times.
We'll go to Zach, Tom, and Jerry.
Zach at Tansvetti, Funch Dutch. Two questions.
Tom and Jerry.
I've been dying to say that.
Thought I was the only one that caught that.
Great order, man.
Awesome.
Sorry, Zach.
It's okay. First question for Ryan. Brad interviewed you in Victory Lane. Yeah. You did that to him yesterday, so how was it to reverse roles?
That was awesome. So I was part of the Fox broadcast yesterday, and I just drew, myself, Eric, and Stenhouse drew whoever we're going to do first, second, or third, and I drew Victory Lane, and Brad happened to win, and that was so cool to interview him in Victory Lane, and, man, it was awesome to see him, you know, just pretty much take the microphone from Jamie Little in Victory Lane and was like, I'm going to interview you. That was cool to see his support. You know, I wouldn't be here without Brad, to be honest with you. He's the one who gave me my start In 2012, I started driving his trucks then and led to the Penske deal, led to the Wood Brothers deal, and I would be nothing if it wasn't for him and taking a chance on me. So he's been a huge, you know, person I've looked up to, and for him to do that, that really, really makes me feel good, and really cool to see his support still as a great person.
For Len and Eddie, next up is 100. So how big would that milestone be for the team?
That would be unbelievable to come from where we've been for the past few years. You know, our dad and uncles back in the 60s and 70s, you know, they were almost unbeatable and built those wins up. And, you know, we've tried to maintain and do better. And I think, you know, with Ryan winning and obviously Trevor Bain, you know, in 2011, hopefully we can get that win number 100 out of the way soon.
Go to Tom.
Tom Bowles, Front Stretch. This question is for you, Ryan. You talked about the young guys, how important it is to be part of that group. Well, Kyle Busch tweets out, congratulations. Kurt Busch says, you're going to be the next superstar. Mario Andretti tweets out, you know, what an exciting win, great young star. Sure. What is it like to have, like, all these drivers so early in your career give you that sort of respect and accolades?
Well, it means a lot, obviously. That's really cool that they showed their respects. It was so cool. You know, you on the cool down lap to see everybody come up and you know, give you a thumbs up or Doria. It's that to me is so cool to show all the support that they have, and whether it's, you know, your best friend or your worst enemy, people you've had run-ins with, they're always, you know, they were congratulating me, and that's cool. And you know, I grew up watching Kyle Busch win tons of races, Kurt Busch, and you know, Mario Andretti, and you know, it's an honor to race with those guys today. And to race that battle with Kyle Busch at the end was really cool, and you know, to race with someone I've, you know, looked up to a bunch when I was growing up, that's really neat to be racing with him. You try not to think of that when you're racing; he's just another competitor. But after the fact, you know, that's, you know, as a fan of those people growing up, I kind of try not to fan out a little bit, and I looked up to those people as a kid, like I said. So that is really cool. I'm excited to see what. What they all have to say.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net, Performance Racing Network. Along the lines with Kyle, he's not known to be light on anybody on the track, and he's never had a win here. So you were holding him, you passed him, and kept him from getting his win, and you held Kevin Harvick off. Were you aware of any of the ancillary things going on? Or
No, not really. You know, you just try to, you know, you see the leader, and you want to pass him, and then you see whoever's behind you, if they're closing on you or not, which he was, just trying to let them pass you. You don't really, like I said before, you don't really notice who it is. You know, if it's Kevin or Kyle or Brad or Joey, you don't really care who it is. You just want to, you know, stay in front of that person or pass that person. So I don't really think of who it is. You just try to do your best no matter what.
Would you feel better if it had been Joey or Brad?
No. I mean, they're going to race me just as hard as, you know, anybody. They want to win too, and you know, I'll say it again, Kevin was a really, really class act of not, you know, hitting me or getting me really loose, driving me really clean, and that was really cool of him. But it don't really matter who's back there. They want to win just as bad as you do, and you always have to think about that.
Matt Corson with theracingexperts.com. For Ryan, now that you've won a race, what are some of your short-term goals for upcoming weeks?
Go try to win the next one. You know, Michigan is a huge race for us. Having Ford and Motorcraft and Quicklane on the car, they're right down the road. That is a huge race for us, and we always have Edsel sit on the box. And that'd be really neat to get him in victory lane. So we want to try to do that. Edsel actually just called Eddie. But that was, you know, like I said, but our mindset doesn't change. We just want to go out and keep trying to win races. You carry this momentum as long as you can, and just try to keep building. I don't think we change up anything.
Hi, Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. My question is for Jeremy. On the last caution there, how soon did you know you wanted to take the four tires? There's a lot of strategy going on there, and how much did Kyle's decision play into that?
I really didn't. I think, you know, we knew. I think we had 15, 16 laps on our tires, and there were still 20 to go. I felt like we were not the best car. I felt like the 18 was the best car, so we needed another shot at adjusting it. We needed tires. You know, the guys we were scanning, the guys we felt like we were racing around us were probably going to come too. So, honestly, as soon as caution came out, it's like I said, hey, I'm thinking about pitting, and I got the out the window. So, you know, it was like, okay, cool, here we come. So,
Kaylee.
Yeah, Kaylee Davis, ESPN.com. And Ryan, I apologize in advance, but the next time you meet Daisy Ridley, are you going to tell her what you do for a living?
maybe she watched the race today. And you never know. But, you know, what'd you say? It could be the difference. You know, I don't know. If I ever meet her again, if I ever cross paths with her, I still won't tell her what I do. That's not cool. But, you know. That was really neat. Maybe I'll run into her again.
Open invitation to the victory party?
Open invitation. You better get on a flight right now because it'll actually be going on all night. So she's got plenty of time to get here. It should be great. Hopefully it comes. I'm trying to figure out what to do. What do you guys think?
I don't know. Just do it.
I'm going to ask Dale if we can go to his town. That'd be really cool.
Well, I'll let you guys go so you can go get that victory party planned.
Thanks.
And congratulations. Good luck next week.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, everybody.